Chapter 20. Megan. Friday, 12th of July, 2013. Scott's away for work, and he won't be back until tonight. I'm frightened. How will the pregnancy be, after what happened with Libby? Will I be a good mother? What if Scott guesses the baby isn't his? It might be his, of course, but I feel that it isn't. I called Kamal just after 6. I was starting to panic. I told him I was in big trouble, and he came to me straight away. Perhaps he thought I was going to do something stupid. He's on my terrace now. I'm terrified, I say, and I tell him all the fears and questions that are in my head. He listens carefully and says, "You'll be fine. The baby will be fine. You're an adult now, and you're much stronger than you were back then." After we've talked a little more, he stands up to leave. I feel calmer, lighter. I put my arms around him and close my eyes as I hear the train loudly rolling up to the signal light. He puts his arms around me too and kisses me. "Thank you," I say. "Thank you for coming, for being here." He smiles, pulls back a little from me and says, "It's all going to be okay." "Couldn't I just run away with you?" I say, but I know it's impossible. He laughs. "You don't need me, Megan, and you don't need to keep running. You and your baby will be fine." After he's gone, I make a decision. I'm going to do the right thing this time. I have to, in memory of Libby. I'm going to tell the truth. No more lies, no more hiding, no more running. Saturday, 13th of July, 2013. His arm is against my neck, and I can't breathe. He's so much stronger than me. I grab some of his t-shirt, and at last he lets go. I fall back onto the wall, coughing, with tears running down my face. He's standing looking at me, and I see the shame on his face. He's saying something to me, but I can't hear it. The pain in my throat is too bad, and I'm trying to breathe. I push past him and run up the stairs. I lock myself in the bedroom and stand and listen. Nothing. He hasn't followed me. As I stand there, I see myself in the mirror. I'm shocked. I'm white, with purple lips, and I look awful. He's never hurt me like this before, but I knew in my heart that it was coming. I'd only just started to tell him. I'd said that I'd been seeing another man, and he became furious. He threw me against the wall before putting his weight against my throat. Then I hear him coming up the stairs. He stands outside the door and says he's sorry. He says it again and again. He's so sorry for hurting me. But I say nothing. I take out the old mobile phone I keep hidden under my clothes. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to tell the truth. I turn it on. I call his number, and I'm not surprised when he doesn't answer. I leave a message. Of course, to begin with, it was all just a bit of fun. That's what we both wanted. But then we started to fall in love. Or I thought we did. It felt like we had a future together. And it was then that he pulled away. He stopped texting, stopped answering my calls. I felt like a piece of rubbish that had been thrown away. I hated it. I started calling him all the time. I know he's not going to call me back, but I've had enough of being ignored. I get up open the door, and I walk past Scott, sitting on the floor outside the bedroom. I move quickly, because I'm afraid he'll grab me. But he doesn't. Instead, he shouts, "Don't go, Megan! Please don't go!" "Don't follow me!" I shout. "If you follow me or call me, I'll never come back. Do you understand? It'll be the last time you see my face." I go outside. I walk straight past number 23. I'm not ready for that yet. And on to the park. I call him again and leave another message. I keep walking, thinking about what I should do next. I've just passed the station when I see him. He's walking quickly, coming out of the underpass, and he looks serious. Before I can stop myself, I call out to him. He stops and faces me. "Megan, what are you..." He seems very angry. "We can't talk here," he says, and takes my arm. "Come with me. We'll go somewhere quiet." As I walk to his car, I look over my shoulder. The underpass is dark. But I think someone's there, in the shadows. Someone's watching us. In the car, I notice he has blood on his hand. "Tom, what happened to your hand?"
"Oh, problems with my ex-wife," he says, and there's anger in his voice.
We drive to Corley Wood in silence. Tom stops the car in the car park. It's a place we've been before. It's a good place to come because it's quiet. This evening, we're alone.
"So, what is it you wanted to talk about?" says Tom.
He's still angry, and I don't feel like being in the car with him, so I suggest we walk. When we're in the woods, I stop and turn towards him. He puts his hands on my waist and starts to kiss me.
"Is this what you want?" he says.
"No," I say. "Not that."
"What then?"
I take a deep breath. "I'm pregnant." He doesn't say anything. His face doesn't change. Then at last he says, "Congratulations." Another deep breath. "Tom, it could be yours." He laughs.
"Oh, lucky me," he says sarcastically. "So are the three of us going to run away together and live happily ever after?"
"I thought you should know, because..."
"Look, if it's your husband's, then do what you want. But if it's mine, I don't want another baby. Get rid of it."
"You can be as involved as you want to be."
"Did you hear what I said?"
he shouted angrily, suddenly turning and walking back towards the car.
"You'd be a terrible mother. Get rid of it." I'm furious. I go after him and push him hard in the back.
He turns around and I scream at him.
"I'm going to make you pay for this. I'm not ever going to go away."
And then he's coming towards me. He has something in his hand. I've fallen. I've hit my head on something. I think I'm going to be sick. I can't get up. I can't see anything. But I can hear someone speaking to me.
"Now look. Now look what you made me do."